Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference is coming to Dallas, Texas, February 16, 17, and 18 in 2018. If you know of a better way to get the latest insider knowledge about crypto, to hear directly from the top minds in this field, to interact personally with 800 fellow crypto lovers, hodlers, investors, miners, traders, developers, and founders, then I'd like to hear about it. If you don't, then you don't want to miss out. Register today for the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference. Go to BitcoinSuperConference.com and register today as a super early bird to get the lowest rates on tickets and hotel rooms. That's BitcoinSuperConference.com. Welcome to Almost Here, Around the Corner of Future Technology Podcast with Richard Jacobs. Future technologies poised to transform our lives for better or worse are the focus of this podcast. Almost here means these technologies are now here and starting to be used. We're just around the corner, from Bitcoin to artificial intelligence, 3D printing, blockchain, virtual reality, and more.
Hi, this is Richard Jacobs with the Future Tech Podcast. I'm speaking with Charlie Morris, Chief Investment Officer, co-founder of Next Block Global. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and just to mention, your co-founder is Alex Tapscott, who wrote the book Blockchain Revolution. Great book that I have read. Very, very interesting. So, Charlie, thanks for coming today. I really appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure. Pleasure to be here.
All right. So, yeah, first question, would you talk about Next Block Global? What's the initiative about and what do you do there?
Sure. So Next Block Global is a blockchain investment company. We do, I guess, three things. The first thing is we invest in a range of existing cryptocurrencies and blockchain assets, so things that you'd be familiar with, things like Bitcoin or Ethereum. Secondly, we invest in new teams doing ICOs, and often we invest at the pre-ICO stage. And it's important for us when we're making those kind of investments, obviously, that the project itself is very good and the idea is good and the team is strong, but also that we, NextBlock, can, you know, help shape that project and help support the team. And it's really important to us that, you know, that we ourselves can help, you know, grow a project. And then thirdly, we also invest in, we have a couple of equity investments into kind of blockchain companies, and that's kind of a more traditional type of investment. So those are kind of the three parts. And really, you know, the strategy of NextBlock is to give our investors, you know, exposure to this ecosystem that we believe is really kind of the next version of the internet.
You know, what's interesting to me is, it's my hypothesis right now, but I think this is what I'm seeing. I was going to ask you not their names, but who your investors are. What I'm seeing, again, just from my view, is that there's a segment of 45 to 70-year-olds that are looking for other types of investments. You know, they may be happy or unhappy with equities, bonds, et cetera, and they, you know, they've heard about cryptocurrencies and tokens, and they're interested, don't know much, but they're looking to invest, and they seem to have a large share of the money that's out there. Is that what you see? And what kind of people are you seeing that are looking to invest in you? Is it institutions, individuals?
It's so, you know, it covers a whole range. I think you're spot on that the one of the issues with this whole sector is access. And that's definitely something that, you know, we are providing our investors. And yeah, like you said, you know, we have a mixture of high net wealth individuals who, you know, basically would struggle to create a Bitcoin wallet and secure their assets, and also, you know, maybe struggle to even kind of know where to start. So, you know, we definitely have those. We also have some larger institutions that are taking more of a strategic investment into us. So, yeah, I mean, it is a mixture, and definitely for us, you know, I think have the ability to provide some very good investments to people who do know what they're doing in the space, just because we have a pretty strong network between Alex and myself. But also, you know, we are definitely offering that kind of access angle.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, the tech world is full of a lot of young guys, 20s, 30s, sometimes even younger. You know, they're hip to the technology. But, you know, going through my own experience with Bitcoin and Ethereum, and you know, doing interviews, it took me 30 interviews really to get a handle on things. No, a slight handle, not even a great handle. I don't know how people that don't spend tons of time looking into it are ever going to figure it out unless they have a lot of help.
Oh, I mean, I completely agree. You know, it's not a very user-friendly ecosystem at the moment. It is very tricky, you know, and especially once you branch outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum, you know, how do you go about, you know, safely securing, you know, smaller tokens, particularly if they're, you know, not ERC-20 tokens? It's a real challenge. And actually, one of the things that we are hoping to do within the next few months actually is to list on the Toronto Stock Exchange on the TSXV. Doing that, we will be giving kind of access to your more kind of regular investor. So as long as you are able to, you know, buy shares in a company, we hope to be able to give you access to this ecosystem.
That's very good. And you talked about making investments and also shepherding existing companies. You know, I don't know if it's an incubation type thing, if it's just advisory. You know, tell me a little bit more about that. You'll do investments, but how far will you go with the companies you invest in?
Yeah, I mean, to start with, it's more kind of, I guess, the advisory route. And I think, you know, there are a number of things that we can do for, for young companies. So firstly, our network is pretty extensive, and that covers things like developers. So, you know, we can help bring on, top talent. And then also just we have a particular focus on our kind of global reach. I actually spent the last 4 years in Hong Kong. So I have a relatively strong network in Asia. Alex has spent the last kind of couple of years really touring the world, kind of preaching blockchain, and his, you know, his network is phenomenal. And so already with a couple of the companies that we're talking to and advising, you know, we're able to give them, you know, pretty useful connections globally. And I think that's actually something that I'm beginning to see, and I think that we will see over time, is that I think blockchains will become kind of regional. And although obviously, you know, it's a global phenomenon, you know, you're already seeing, for example, in China, you've got things like NEO and Quantum, which are these kind of Chinese-focused blockchains. You know, and if you look at kind of historically, you know, even things like Alibaba, you know, Tencent, you tend to see kind of Western ideas replicated in China, but, you know, in a Chinese way. And I can definitely see that happening in the blockchain world as well. You know, we're in touch with a company in Korea, in South Korea, also kind of doing their own kind of unique kind of blockchain implement. Having a global network could be of real value. And so that's, you know, that's definitely something that we want to kind of be able to help, you know, our investments with. And the, you know, the companies we're supporting to help them get a global reach. And then also, you know, just from a, I guess, from a publicity perspective, again, that's something that, you know, Alex is very, very good at. And, you know, he has a very strong presence. And so, you know, if there is a smaller project that we really believe in, you know, we can help them to gain exposure.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, you're right. I am seeing, like, you know, NEM, you know, ZEM with their token, they seem initially to be more Asia focused. Definitely AntShares or NEO, as they're now called. Waves appears to be a Russian type thing. So I guess they all these countries want to weigh in and be a part of the ecosystem. They probably feel like they can do that best with these regional blockchain type applications.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it depends. It depends a lot on the country. You know, I can definitely envisage the Chinese government having a fair amount to say about blockchains and cryptocurrencies. And if, you know, I can imagine them wanting to support homegrown variations rather than something that they may perceive as kind of a Western technology.
Do you think that later on there's going to be an exertion of control because blockchains appear to be regionalized, or at least a large number of them? An exertion of control by nation states, I mean.
I mean, when I think about the future, I always try and think about the different kind of possible futures that exist. And there is certainly a possible future whereby nation states will want to get involved, particularly in the kind of more classic kind of cryptocurrency realm. You know, already we've seen talks about, you know, China creating a digital kind of version of the renminbi, which would be blockchain based. And if you think about it from a government perspective, that would be, you know, a phenomenal tool to have, because, you know, you'd be able to see every single transaction that happens. Right. So I can certainly foresee that happening, but I can, you know, I don't believe that there is, you know, this, or I don't prescribe to the belief of a dystopian future with, you know, complete government control. I think a lot of governments will take this stuff in moderation, and will, you know, will probably start to use blockchain technology themselves for a range of applications. So I think my view is that they'll probably be users of blockchains rather than, you know, overseers or I'm not quite sure. The word I'm looking for is I'm not sure. I believe that they'll be censoring kind of cryptocurrencies and blockchains.
Well, that's good. I hope that's the case as well. So because you're taking an advisory position, you know, and you're looking at a lot of startups, a lot of companies, what perspective do you think you have that other people wouldn't have that are not so heavily involved and have all these connections and, again, to see all this stuff coming at them? What are you seeing that's interesting to you or curious or surprising?
So I guess when I look at the ecosystem at the moment, firstly, my big belief is in the smart contract kind of infrastructure side of blockchain. You know, I do believe things like Ethereum could very well be the next era of the internet, and we kind of call it, you know, the internet of value rather than the internet of information. I think one of the things when I look at this is I can see three possible futures in terms of these platform plays. The first is, you know, we may end up with one overarching smart contract platform that everyone is using. And that's kind of the maximalist argument. And, you know, some people have said, well, you know, that's going to be Bitcoin. And with rootstock coming onto Bitcoin, that, you know, that could well be the future. Or it could be Ethereum, you know, that really manages to take the lion's share of what's going on. So that's one possible future. The second is, you know, I'm sure you're aware of these kind of parachains coming out, things like Cosmos and Polkadot, which are going to connect different blockchains together. So the second future is that maybe you have these kind of regional hubs of blockchains, or even blockchains that have a very specific focus. You know, maybe you have a blockchain that is focusing, you know, heavily on, you know, just the shipping industry, or just, you know, on insurance or whatever it is, and that you have these parachains that connect them together. So that's kind of a second future. And a third future that I'm actually beginning to get, I think, slightly more bullish on, is that individual applications or dApps will basically spin up versions of their own blockchain. And those blockchains will then again connect with parachains, and maybe, you know, the currently kind of large smart contract platforms, you know, like Ethereum, will play less of a role in the future because these applications will basically run on their own blockchain infrastructure. And by doing that, they'll be able to decide, you know, exactly on the types of, you know, the types of things that they need. So maybe they need very low latency and very, you know, short block times, or you know, vice versa. I think for me as an investor, when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, these are the possible futures. You know, how can we get exposure to each one of the futures? You know, how can we hedge ourselves against any, you know, particular version of events that could happen? So yeah, so I guess that's kind of how I'm looking at things at the moment.
Yeah, what's your opinion of you know, the tokenization taking over the world, you know, the explosion of ICOs? What's your guess in the next 6 months to 2 years, what's going to happen in that space?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's been absolutely phenomenal to see how, you know, the ICO market has just skyrocketed from nothing to billions of dollars. One of the things I can definitely see happening is a convergence between, you know, the blockchain world, you know, which is obviously using ICOs as a funding mechanism, and actually the real world just using blockchain for more traditional types of financing. There's a company based here in Toronto called Polymath, who we're relatively close with, and they are looking at potentially building, you know, a blockchain platform that where anyone issuing tokens on that platform would actually be issuing real securities. And I think that's a really fascinating, you know, play. And I can definitely foresee a future where all sorts of traditional companies, you know, run ICOs to raise as a fundraising mechanism. You know, and the ICOs they run, you know, investors will in return for investing get real shares that hold, you know, weight as securities. And I'm sure you've seen, you know, what the SEC has been saying recently. And I can definitely foresee, yeah, a future where basically, you know, most stock markets are just running on blockchains. And so you get this kind of amazing convergence between what's currently happening in our kind of, I guess, niche blockchain world and what's happening in the more traditional world and then just, you know, fusing together.
Yeah, I saw that with the internet, you know, 20 years ago, it was its own world. And then it slowly integrated with the quote unquote real world, you know, legally and every other way. And with blockchain, it's happening a lot faster. But I see that it's going in the same direction to really take off.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, definitely.
Just a couple more questions. And again, I'm asking you mostly for your insights because I think you're in like the a great position to look down and see the whole landscape.
Sure.
What about awareness of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and blockchain technology in general amongst the general public? I don't know if you have any insights into this, but I see news articles proliferating and it seems to be coming into the mainstream, but what do you see?
Yes. I mean, I guess, you know, I can answer this kind of anecdotally. You know, I mean, how often now am I just, you know, at a dinner party and someone brings up that I'm kind of in this space and all of a sudden, you know, everyone, all the attention gets turned towards, you know, what I'm doing and people are fascinated. Some of the stats coming out of Coinbase are pretty staggering. I think there was a period a few weeks ago where they signed up 100,000 new accounts in about 3 days. Definitely, I think we are being, far more general public awareness of this space. I don't have the stats in my fingers, but if you were to look at the number of news stories in major publications that are covering cryptocurrency and blockchain, I imagine it has skyrocketed in the last, you know, few months. I definitely see awareness is increasing. You know, when we were going out, we were obviously fundraising as a company, in the last, couple of months. And again, you know, we're meeting with all sorts of people and, you know, from high net wealth individuals to big institutions, there is just so much interest in this space. We raised $20 million in 3 weeks, and that was kind of an unbrokered deal. So we had no broker. That was just purely Alex and I going out to the market and meeting with our own contacts. And I think what we've seen is just the demand there is enormous. I can definitely foresee in the next year or so, many, many more people coming to the space. I think particularly in stability, you're seeing grassroots adoption of things like Bitcoin. And that's really fascinating to me because, you know, it's one thing that, you know, the intellectual elite seeing this as an investment opportunity and wanting to get in, but it's quite a different kettle of fish if you're having, you know, workers in Argentina converting their peso into Bitcoin because it's a better store of value than their own national currency. You know, that's an enormous shift. And that, to me, that's actually what's, you know, more exciting than big institutions wanting to buy a bit of Bitcoin. It's the, you know, it's the farmer in, you know, Colombia that wants to buy a bit of Bitcoin as a store of value, you know, that because that is going to be the turning point in this industry, I think.
Do you think that there's going to be a country that says, you know what, we're going to go to Bitcoin or some other token as our reserve currency, and we're going to leave ours go?
Well, I mean, there are obviously some pretty significant challenges around doing that. Particularly for, you know, if you're a government and you're thinking about taxation, the second that you move to a pseudonymous currency, then, you know, you're opening, you know, doors for people to evade taxes. So I don't know if that will happen. But definitely, you know, there is becoming broader acceptance, I think, in many countries towards, you know, most people that heard the word Bitcoin would associate it with criminal activity. And I think, criminals tend to adopt technologies faster than the general public. And Bitcoin is just a technology in the same way you could say, you know, cash is a technology. And And if they, you know, if criminals aren't using Bitcoin, they're using cash. But I think nowadays most people are aware that you know, the cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology is far more A than just Bitcoin, and B is, you know, is being used for, you know, many fantastic and beneficial beneficial ways, and is just this phenomenal technology. I don't know if I waffled there a bit.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's good for you bring up some of the issues that I may not have thought about, or other people, but it would just be a huge watershed moment if even a small nation says, hey, you know, we're going to use Dash or Bitcoin or whatever as our reserve currency. So,
yeah, I mean, it could well be, yeah.
Well, last question, one of the last questions. You said there's a tremendous amount of interest. We're seeing it again, a proliferation of news articles and interest in crypto. What do you think the tipping point will be, and when do you guess it might be? I know it's pure speculation, but what do you think?
I think for me, a big tipping point will be when millions of people are using a blockchain technology without their knowledge that that's what they're using. And I think there's a chance it could happen sooner rather than later. So I don't know if you've heard about Kin or Kik. So Kik is a messaging platform, and they're going to be releasing a cryptocurrency they're doing kind of an ICO in the next few months. And so as part of this messaging platform that has millions of users, they'll be offering this kind of payment cryptocurrency service. And there is the potential there that millions of people will then start using this cryptocurrency without them actually knowing that it is a cryptocurrency, or that it's, you know, even running on a blockchain. And so for me, that's going to be fascinating, because I think it's fair to say that most tokens out in the wild at the moment are not really being used, you know, or certainly not being used in a mass market way. And a lot of it is kind of proof of concept. And so, you know, we need to see some real, you know, large company, you know, something like Kik, which is a $1 billion, you know, mobile app. It's an established company. You know, when they start deploying this stuff and users start using it without knowing they're using it, I think that could be a real watershed moment. And you know, in terms of timing, I think it could be as early as sometime next year. There could be a real shift, or it could be, you know, or maybe it'll take 5 years. Who knows? I guess the bet that we as a company are taking is that shift is going to happen, and when it happens, it's going to happen in a very, very big way, and it's going to be an enormous shift for the digital economy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, great. Well, thanks for indulging me in all these crazy questions and testing your crystal ball.
No worries. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for having me. And I enjoy the podcast. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Well, last quick question. How can listeners engage with you and Alex and, look at your new initiatives and maybe become a client? Who knows? How can they get in touch with you?
Sure. So Alex and I are both on Twitter. I'm at CHT Morris. Alex's Twitter is, we think Alex's Twitter is at Alex Tapscott. As I mentioned, we're quite a new company. And so probably going through Twitter to reach us is the best way at the moment.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, thanks again so much for being on the podcast. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
No, pleasure, Richard. I look forward to hearing it, and I look forward to hearing, you know, your other podcasts.
The Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Super Conference is coming to Dallas, Texas, February 16, 17, and 18 in 2018. If you know of a better way to get the latest insider knowledge about crypto, to hear directly from the top minds in this field, to interact personally with 800 fellow crypto lovers, hodlers, investors, miners, traders, developers, and founders, then I'd like to hear about it. If you don't, then you don't want to miss out. Register today for the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Blockchain Superconference. Go to BitcoinSuperconference.com and register today as a super early bird to get the lowest rates on tickets and hotel rooms. That's BitcoinSuperconference.com. You have been listening to Almost Here, Around the Corner Future Technology Podcast with Richard Jacobs. Subscribe to this podcast, post a review, to discover more future technologies that are poised to transform our lives for better or worse, such as Bitcoin, artificial intelligence, 3D printing, blockchain, virtual reality, and more.